Now, an opportunity on the Lord's Day to gather together like this and worship God in spirit and in truth. I'm always glad to be among those of like precious faith. It's always encouraging to me to be here, and I hope you can say the same. Again, we're thankful for those that are visiting with us. We love to have visitors among us, and we hope that you've been made to feel welcome and that you'll want to come back at every opportunity that you have. I just simply ask you to take your Bible out and follow along with me. And don't take my word for anything that is said to be the truth simply because I say it. But I want you to know it's the truth because it's what the Bible says. And if I miss the mark, if I say something that I can't put my finger on, I'm not going to count you as an enemy because you pointed out to me. I'll appreciate that and we'll make correction of it if I'm wrong. And that way God will be pleased with what I endeavor to do. Wonderful words of life. Appreciate Billis doing a good job in the song leading he did and singing this song, a beautiful song with a beautiful message. As we think about words pertaining to this life, wonderful words of life. You'll notice under the title of that hymn in your book, a scripture reference is given to John chapter 6. When in verse 66, the Bible says, "From that time many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. And he turned to the 12 and said, will you also go away?" Remember what Peter said? "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life, and we are sure that Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." Wonderful words of life. That's what I want us to think about as we consider this topic, wonderful words of life. The first one I want you to think about, we just sang about wonderful words of life. I want to give you about 9. There's outline in the back, and so there's still some back there. You feel free to pick one up and add to it, study it, whatever the case may be. Put some notes on it along the way. When I think about wonderful words of life as presented in the Bible, one that comes to my mind is the word hope. You know, the Bible says, among other things I mentioned to you several times, that the Bible says that we are saved by a number of things. We are saved by grace, Ephesians 2. We are saved by the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 3. A number of things. We are saved by the blood of Christ, Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. But did you realize that the Bible says that we are saved by hope? Romans chapter 8 and in verse 24. I can't help but to think about what Paul penned in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 when he said, "For if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men..." What's the rest of that? "We are of all men most miserable." If our hope was confined to just this life, we would be miserable because life can be difficult. Life has its ups and downs, its difficulties, and times of when it's not difficult, it's times when things are rough, when things are smooth. And so if hope was for the Christian was only confined to this life, we would indeed be of all men most miserable. And as you come to the book of Titus, and of course, Titus is a companion book to 1 and 2 Timothy because it's dealing with the work of a preacher, the work of an evangelist. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 1 beginning, "Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness." Now watch this. "In hope of..." Hope of what? "In hope of the eternal life which God that cannot lie promised before the world began." We have hope in Christ of better things to come. And we ought to appreciate that in chapter 3 of Titus, the book of Titus, chapter 3 and then verse 7, "that being justified by His grace, we shall be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." I'm thankful for hope, which the writer of the book of Hebrews points out. Hope is an anchor of the soul, sure and steadfast. And so to keep us grounded as we think about the things of which we hope for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. But as you think about wonderful words of life, I tell you another one that I'm thankful for. All of these are words that we've heard and we've read and we've studied along the way. But I think about redemption. The word redemption has the idea of something being purchased back, being bought back. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Did you know that you are a redeemed people? hath redeemed us to be a peculiar people unto Him. Some versions say a possession of God. Peculiar people, zealous of good works. Titus chapter 2 and then verse 14. And in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7, the Bible tells us what we've been redeemed with. Notice as Paul is writing to the church of Christ at Ephesus, he said, in whom, that is in Christ, in whom we have redemption through His blood. A lot of blood has been shed through the ages of time. The Old Testament and the New Testament for a lot of different reasons throughout the history of mankind. But if you could gather all that blood up and put it in one pail, one bucket, all the blood of man and beast that have been shed from the beginning of time until now, wherever will be shed, cannot do what the blood of one man can accomplish. Now think of that. Through His blood we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. In Ephesians chapter 4 and then verse 32, and be kind one toward another, tender hearted, forgiving one another. Can we forgive one another? Do we forgive one another? Oh, I'll forgive, but I won't forget. And reevaluate your forgiveness. I understand there are things that perhaps we can't get out of our mind. But folks, we can't be the type of people that will not forgive. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. God's forgiven you. He's forgiven me, and He expects that I forgive others. For if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. The Lord stated in the great Sermon on the Mount of Matthew 5, 6, and 7. But also I think about salvation. I want to be saved. Do you want to be saved? We can be saved from our past sins, and we can be saved from the wrath to come, and we can be saved for all eternity by having eternal life. But all of that hinges on our obedience to the gospel of Christ. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16, verse 16. I don't care if the world stands for 2,000 years or longer from now, that verse will still be there, and it is still read the very same thing. In the very same way, I'm thankful for the salvation that God has granted to us, which is, by the way, in Christ Jesus. That the elect may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 10, and to them that wait for Him or watch for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So if you obey the gospel, you're saved from your past sins. And if you stay faithful unto God, you'll be saved eternally when the Lord comes back. Again, that's Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. But also I think about, as we've read about, but not made point about yet, I'm thankful for the wonderful word of life, eternal life. I'm thankful for the hope of eternal life. And some want you to believe when you die, you're like the dead dog Rover, you're just dead all over. But the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches the soul of man will live for all eternity, either in the joys of heaven or the pain of hell, separated from the presence of God for all eternity. I think about 1 John chapter 2. Well, notice in 1 John chapter 2 and then verse 25 what the Bible says, and this is the promise. You know, God's made many promises. I did a lesson. I know I did it here several years ago, standing on the promises of God. And I think there was 20 points in that sermon. Standing on the promises of God. Things that God has promised that you read about in the Scriptures. And this is a promise that He hath promised us, even eternal life. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice, and shall come forth, they that have been good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done good unto the resurrection of damnation. John 5, verses 28 and 29. And then in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that also ye may have fellowship with us. So the thing about wonderful words of life, I want you to be impressed with the fact that we have fellowship with those of like precious faith, and fellowship with God and with His Son, And all of that is stipulated upon us walking in the light. I'm sure you're aware of that, that you knew that. If we're not walking in the light that is the light of His truth, we don't have fellowship with those of light, precious faith, and we don't have fellowship with His Son. I know that's the case, not because it was somehow miraculously revealed unto me, but because of what the text says. Read your Bible. Get your eyes on it. Notice what He says. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if, remember the lesson I did on divine stipulations, all of them had the word if. It is a word that predicates things, makes things conditional, stipulates things. For if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, His Son cleanseth us from all sin. And so we can have fellowship with God and with Christ and with those of like precious faith. In Galatians chapter 2 and in verse 9, Paul points out the fact that they gave the right hand of fellowship. In Philippians chapter 1 and in verse 5, he talks about fellowship. And a lot of passages in the Bible mention the word fellowship, but it is of a spiritual nature. He's not talking about, as I recently mentioned to you, some addition to the building with the word fellowship on it. That is not what the Bible's talking about. That is a gross misuse of the Bible word fellowship. By the way, what we're doing right now in worship unto God is fellowship. Did you know that? In Acts chapter 2 and in verse 42, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. And in prayers and in breaking of bread. It's in fellowship, in worship. All those were of a spiritual nature. In Philippians chapter 1 verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Now Paul is talking about their mutual participation, their sharing together in the gospel. Now toward the end of the book in Philippians chapter 3, he points out that they shared with him concerning the gospel as they sent once and again to his necessity. Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 16, he says, I was in Thessalonica and you sent unto my necessity. They had a mutual sharing together in the labor of the gospel. But as you think about wonderful words of life, I don't only think about fellowship, but I think about the love of God, which really makes our salvation possible. For God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5 and in verse 8. And again in the book of 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 16. The Bible says, hereby perceive we the love of God. How do we perceive the love of God? How can we know the love of God? Because He laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. I can be a child of God as a direct result of the love of God. Just let your eyes go back to verse 1 of the same chapter. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. And so because of the wonderful words of life, the love of God, I can be a child of God. But then I think about the word overcoming. In the New Testament, it's used a number of times, like in John chapter 16, verse 33, when Jesus was talking to the apostles. And notice what He says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Be of good cheer. It says, in the world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And in 1 John chapter 4 and in verse 4, John writes, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You know what we're able to overcome the world by? Specifically, look in chapter 5 and in verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Our faith allows us to overcome the world as we obey the gospel and continue in the things that God would have us to do. But also I think about, as we just read from John chapter 16, I think about peace. Jesus Christ said, I give you peace. In the world you're going to have tribulation. But then notice in John chapter 14 what he stated in verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In the midst of a tumultuous world, with all the ups and downs and the heartaches and things that come our way, we can have peace, we can have joy, we can rejoice. As Paul would say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, rejoice evermore. Rejoice and have joy in this world. My peace I give unto you. In the book of Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So we can have peace. Think about wonderful words of life. Two more points. I think about heaven. I guess all of it is better brought into view, into focus, when we think about our eternal reward with God when life is over. If it wasn't but for an eternity with God in heaven, what would be the purpose? But we want to go to heaven. In the book of Colossians, again, he's writing to the church at Colossae. He's writing to Christians, and he says in verse 5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. So we have a hope that is laid up in heaven. It's a place that I want to go, don't you? And Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you, to the apostles, he said. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am there you may be also. John 14, verses 1 through 6. So we can go to be with God for all eternity in heaven, where there's no more death, no more sorrow, no more pain. But those things are esteemed as former things. The former things have passed away. They are no more. Well, if you're here this morning, you're not a Christian. Why not become a Christian so that you can go to heaven when life is over? Don't you want to go? Now, if you say, yes, I want to go, but you're not a Christian, then how bad do you want to go? Bad enough to become a Christian? Bad enough to stay steadfast and unmovable, 1 Corinthians 15:58? Bad enough that you'll not be weary and well-doing? For in due season we shall reap if we faint not or do not lose heart, Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 9. Last point. Here's the words, I think about wonderful words of life. That's used a good number of times in the New Testament. And it is the word whosoever. And perhaps what is one of the greatest Bible invitations, in fact, I think it is. I think about the invitation when the Lord said, come unto me, ye that are weary and so forth. In the book of Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. I think about this invitation. In Revelation chapter 22 and in verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And what's this? And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That includes you. It includes me. It includes everybody on the top side of God's green earth. Has an open invitation to come and to partake of the waters of life. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. John 3:16 and 17. And then our last scripture, Romans chapter 10 and then verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Well, preacher, how do I call upon the name of the Lord so that I can be saved? That is, how do I become a Christian? Well, you've got to get up and do what the Bible says to do in obedience to the gospel. Calling upon the name of the Lord is not prayer, it's obedience. And I know that's the case because in Acts 22 and verse 16, the God sent preacher Ananias told Saul of Tarsus. And now what are you waiting for? Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You call on the name of the Lord when you get up and you do what the Lord said to do to be saved. What must I do to be saved? Hear the gospel. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10 verse 17. Believe it. Jesus said, if you don't believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? John 8, 24. Repent of your sins. Turn from the ways of the world and turn unto God. Without which will perish, Luke 13, 3 and 5. Confess your faith in Christ, like we've seen recently. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Acts 8 and in verse 37. And then be baptized for the remission of your sin, that is buried with Christ, to rise to walk in newness of life, Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. Where the blood of the Lamb will wash away every sin you've ever committed, Revelation 1, 5. And like those on the day of Pentecost, will be added to the church of Christ by the Lord Himself, Acts 2 and verse 47. You may say, preacher, I've done that, but I've not been faithful as I should. I obeyed, but I went back out into the world of sin. I realized that I'm not right with God and I want to be restored. I want to come home. What must I do? Repent of your unfaithfulness, Acts 8. Confess your fault unto God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Repent and pray. Again, that's Acts 8, 1 John chapter 1. We'll pray with you and for you. Do you want to go to heaven? If so, come right now.